Thank you very much.
I'm Bernard Joins,
and today we'll be discussing the man with the right plan. We have for generations been confused over such expressions as preach Christ and not doctrine, as if that could be done, or we trust Christ, the man, and not a plan, as if we could separate the two. Today, this is a familiar slogan. It is the man, not the plan, as if we have found something new, a way to separate the two. There seems to be an idea in the religious world that the sinner can trust Christ, decide for Christ, surrender to Christ, accept Him as their personal Savior and their Lord without surrendering to His plan. It is my purpose in this lesson today to show that you cannot separate the man from the plan and enjoy his blessings. May I ask you a question? What good is a man without a plan, or a plan without a man? Christ is the one who is the atonement for our sins. Since all accept the death of Christ for our sins as a complete atonement or satisfaction for sin, may I ask, what good would his atonement be to us if Christ had no plan by which we could become the recipients of this atonement? Christ, therefore, without a plan, would be tragic. For what good, then, would be our plea for a Christ-centered religion once it is admitted that God has a plan and man must submit to this plan, or which Christ is the very heart and center? Then forever, it settles the question. Does man have to do something to enjoy the blessings of this Christ-centered religion? It is evident that you must obey or submit to Christ's plan, and that's something that man does. To preach the complete plan is to preach the complete man. You cannot separate the two and enjoy the blessings promised by Christ, the man. It takes both. That you may understand how it takes both the man and his plan, that we may become the benefactors of his blessings, I now invite your attention to a study of the following examples found in your Bible. Let's go back to the Old Testament for a moment, and there we'll take a look at the walls of Jericho. In the sixth chapter of Joshua is the story of the city of Jericho. It had to be taken by Israel on their march to Canaan. In this illustration, we have both the man, who is God, and the gift, which is the city. Now, to receive this gift, the city, God, the man, commanded Joshua to arrange his men after this order. First, the men of arms. Second, the priests with the trumpets of the ram's horn. And third, the Ark of the Covenant. And fourth, the rearward, the people, and then to march around the wall once for 6 days, seven times the seventh day, blow the ram's horn, and give a shout, and the gift, which was the city, would be theirs. And here you have the man, who is God, the plan, as just given, and the gift, the city. Now, tell me something. How are you going to possess the gift? Are they to just trust the man, ignoring his plan? Suppose Joshua had begun saying to Israel, trust the man, not the plan. Do not substitute the plan for the man. What would God have thought of him? How confused might Israel have become, and what really happened? Joshua did not try to confuse them. He commanded Israel to do exactly what God commanded. He had faith in God, the man. He believed in his plan and did what God commanded. And God, because of Joshua's faith in God, a faith that submitted to his plan, gave them the city. When they walked into the city, having obeyed the voice of God in carrying out his plan, had they submitted the plan for the man? Had they trusted a plan rather than in God, the man? No. My good friends, they didn't do that. They had faith in God, accepted his plan and the man, and bestowed upon them the gift, the city, and again was the man with the right plan. Now, if they had omitted any part of that, then they would not have received the city. They had to carry out the complete plan of God. In John chapter 9 is a similar story. Christ the man said to the man who was blind, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam and see." The blind man, with faith in Christ, the man, washed in the pool, the plan, and Christ gave him his sight, the blessing. Again, it was the man with the right plan. The honor was given to the man, not to the pool. And the another example that we might give is the setting forth in such beauty, yet with simplicity. This lesson is found in 2 Kings 5. Time does not permit my giving this in a detailed description. The chapter is soon read if you're really interested, and I shall give you the story. Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army, and this army had captured a little maid, and she worked for Naaman's wife, and Naaman was a leper. This little maid, knowing this, said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This was related to the king, and Naaman was sent to the prophet, as told by the maid, but to the king of Israel. And he had become confused on this. He thought, "I'll go to the head and I'll go to the king. I won't bother to go to the prophet." But did the king have the plan? He was introduced to the king by letter. And when the king of Israel read the letter, knowing nothing of the mission, he was angered and said, "This man seeks a quarrel against me." It was then Elisha, God's prophet, sent word to the king of Israel to send Naaman to him, and he would know there was a prophet in Israel. Naaman went. Elisha did not even so much as go out to meet him, but sent his servant to tell him what to do. And Elisha's servant said, "Go wash 7 times in Jordan, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Now here was the man, here was the plan, and there was the promised blessing that was his cure. What is Naaman to do? He understood perfectly the plan. Instead of submitting to the plan of God, he became enraged because it was not as he thought it would be. I wonder how many people today are like he was in 2 Kings 5:11 and said, "God said, but I thought." He started home angered to the depths and said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage, 2 Kings 5:12. Now I ask you, were not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar just as good as any in Israel? And what made the difference? They were not in the plan. He could not substitute in one particular his own way. Not even the rivers of his own country, which he thought to be far better than those of Israel. And no doubt they were nice, clear streams, and Israel isn't always clear. It's muddy sometimes. But, my good friends, we cannot change God's plan and substitute in its stead our own. Oh, could I but implant this principle deep in our hearts. What a revolution would take place in the religious world today. We would come back to the Bible and God's plan. Now notice, God thought Elisha, God through Elisha rather, was the man here, and washing in Jordan was the plan, and 2 things are wrong with Naaman. First, he went to the wrong man for the cure. He went to the king. And second, Naaman had his own plan, but it would not work. My friends, remember always, it takes the right man with the right plan. And you can neither change the man nor the plan if you want the blessing. And here's what happened. Naaman's servant said to him, "How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean,' is not that easily understood? Wash and be clean." Naaman came to his senses. He went to the Jordan River as commanded. He washed 7 times, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. 2 Kings 5:14. Now, the question is, did Naaman substitute the plan for the man? Did he trust the plan instead of the man? Did he trust the water or his own works and not the man? No. He looked through the waters of Jordan to God, the man, for the cure. For here's what he said after he was healed. "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Naaman had faith in the man, believed in the plan, submitted himself finally to the plan of the man, that is God, promising the cure. And he received the blessing that was promised. Again, it was not the man instead of his plan. It was not the man and not the plan. It was the man with the right plan that effected the cure. Now this question, had Naaman not surrendered to the plan given by the Lord, would he have been cured? Well, if you know anything about God's dealing with man, you can answer this, and your troubles are over with reference to God's blessings to any man in any age. It is always that man has to submit to God's plan. That's his way, or man is condemned. Yes, it is the right man with the right plan. And just a thought here. He was told to dip 7 times. When he dipped once, twice, 3 times, was he clean? No. 4, 5, 6 times? No. It was only when he had completed precisely what God had said that he was clean. And we ought to keep that in mind in our obedience to God today. Now, let us come now to another man with the right plan. That is Christ Jesus. Man is lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he must be saved from his sins. Christ, because of his sacrifice for our sins, has become our Savior. We cannot save ourselves. Jeremiah 10:23 makes that clear, as well as many other passages. But he alone can save. It is sometimes thought, if we present the plan by which Christ saves man, that we have denied the man and have submitted in his place the plan. It is sometimes said, if we have to accept a plan to be saved, we have denied the blood of Christ and are trusting our good works. This does not necessarily follow. For the very same principle is found in the salvation of man from his sins, as was illustrated in the examples that we've just given. The principle is the same. Here we will find, as in these examples, that it is the man with the right plan. The question simply is this. Does God now save man without any plan? Or does he save him with man's plan? Another way of saying it is salvation conditional or unconditional? Does man have to do anything in order to be saved? That Christ does have a plan. Hear him as he speaks. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord," now get it, "and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. That's the plan. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will," that is the plan, "of my Father which is in heaven." These are the scores of others. Many of them could be found in various places in the Old and New Testaments to prove conclusively that man is blessed of his Lord, and is the Lord, of course, is the man, who obeys the will of the Father, which will is God's plan. Again, it is the man with the right plan, and the plan is God's will. That covers the whole thing. Now let's take a look just briefly at the plan. We come to the plan used by the Lord in saving man, and our Lord commanded as follows. In Mark 16:15-16, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now there's the blessing we're looking for, isn't it? But he that believeth not shall be damned. We're certainly not looking for that. But that's when we fail to accept the plan and obey the plan. The gospel is that plan, and he says in Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This is the plan, and in Matthew 28:18-19, he commands them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Again, this is the plan. It's the same plan that he speaks of just previously, and it's just stated in different words. And here we have man, who is Christ. We have the plan, which is the gospel, that includes the Great Commission that we have just quoted. And we have the blessings to be enjoyed, remission of sins and salvation. The power that is speaking here is the same power that spoke at Jericho, that spoke at Jordan, and that which stood by the pool of Siloam. He now stands by the center to bless him, just as he stood by the others to bless them. Can the sinner anymore just believe in the man and reject his plan than could the men of Jericho and Jordan or at the pool? They had to believe in the man, but at the same time they had to follow the plan. Cannot we see that deciding for Christ, trusting in Christ, surrendering to Christ, accepting Christ as our personal Savior, all include our full and complete surrender to his will, his plan, the gospel, by which he has promised to save us? Cannot we see that we cannot reject his plan? The Bible declares, Romans 1:16, that the gospel is God's power unto salvation. It is his plan. That there be no doubt in your mind that what I have said is the truth, I beg of you to listen again to your Savior. John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." You cannot separate the man from his plan. Again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." These words constitute his plan. I believe I said transfiguration is the Mount of Temptation after his baptism. But man has the plan illustrated for him. That you may see the Lord's Great Commission in action, I invite you now to Jerusalem, and the record of it is in the second chapter of Acts, where the apostles have assembled as commanded, awaiting the coming of the Spirit to guide them into all truth. In John 16:13. "Now the Spirit came upon them, and the great sermon was delivered as recorded. When convicted of two things, one, that Christ was what he claimed to be, the Savior of man. Two, that they were sinners, lost before God, they asked this question, 'What shall we do?' Peter answered with these words, 'Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" In verse 41, we learn that 3,000 souls obeyed and were baptized. Verse 47 says that, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." And in verse 44, they were called believers. Verse 47, records the fact that we have just quoted to you about the Lord and what he did with them in adding them to his church, which he said in Matthew 16:18 he would build. Now, their hour of decision had come. They could either decide for Christ by doing what his apostles had commissioned by him to command, that is, surrender to his plan, or they could reject his words, his plan, and remain lost and be judged then by his word. Here was the man with the right plan. To refuse his plan was to reject Christ. These 3,000 have now trusted Christ for salvation. They have surrendered to Christ. They have, by obeying what Christ commanded, surrendered to him, and by his atoning blood, he has now saved them because of faith in the man, Christ. They accepted his plan. Here you have the man, Christ Jesus, speaking through the apostles. You have the plan, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you have the blessings. 3,000 received the remission of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was the first time salvation or remission of sins was ever preached by the authority of a risen Lord. This was the first time the Great Commission, given already in this lesson, was ever preached to a people. Question. Did they, by obeying the commands given by the apostle of our Lord, substitute the plan for the man? Did they trust in the plan, not in the man, Christ? What caused them to obey this command? It was faith in Christ Jesus, belief in his plan, and a desire from the heart to enjoy the blessings of salvation. So they heard, they believed, and they obeyed. If we follow the same plan today, why will it not make us what it made them? Why will it not bring us the same blessings that it brought them? My brethren, I have obeyed this very same command. Why? Not because we believed and trusted in ourselves, in a plan that we might come up with, and not trust in Christ, but because we had faith in Christ Jesus. We surrendered to his plan, and every step we made, just as did those in Acts 2, was a step of faith and trust in Christ. And when they and we reached salvation, it was because of a faith in the cleansing power of the blood of the man, Christ Jesus. He was the one who had given the command, we must surrender to him, and to the plan that he has. Again, we have the right man, Christ, with the right plan, the gospel, which then, which when obeyed by human beings today, as of then, will receive the right blessing, salvation. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 states what the gospel is. And this is what we must know, and then we believe it, and we receive the commands of the one who gave us the gospel and who died in order that we might be saved and shed his blood. And just as they were blessed at Jericho, Jordan, and the pool of Siloam, after surrendering to God's plan, we are saved. Now I beg of you to accept the man by surrendering to his plan. For we must have the right man with the right plan, or we're lost. May the good Lord bless you to surrender to Christ by obeying him. By accepting his plan is my prayer in his holy and blessed name. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today.